Okay, good. So we are in Perkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis. Hello, Ayala. So nice to see you. Oh, love learning with you guys. Okay, ready? Let's go. Let's read it inside. Ben Azai Omer. Everyone has it? Everyone has it? At least Yael Brandspiegel has it. Does everyone else have it? Come on. Okay. Ben Azai Omer. Ben Azai says, Heve rotz lemitzvah kala kebachamura. You should run to a late mitzvah like a heavy mitzvah. Ubareach min ha'aveira, and you should flee, you should run away from sin. She mitzvah goreres mitzvah, because, a mitzvah causes another mitzvah, the aveira goreres aveira, and a sin causes another sin. She schar mitzvah mitzvah, because the reward for a mitzvah is, or for, the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, uschar aveira aveira, and the reward for an aveira is an aveira. Good. So we always learn first with Rabbeinu Yonah, and again, a little bit of Rav Hirsch thrown in, and a little bit of Chachma Umisar thrown in, and stuff like that. Hello, Naomi. All right, so we always learn at first with Rabbeinu Yonah. An interesting thing, again, like a little hook about the Archabura tonight, is that there are twice within Rabbeinu Yonah's parish of this Mishnah that he says, like, Chalila Lecha. Like, oh gosh, I hope you don't misunderstand this. Okay, two times. I've never seen before yet a Mishnah of Rabbeinu Yonah where twice about separate things he says, like, oh, you better not misunderstand this. So it's interesting because it seems to be like not a super controversial, so to speak, Mishnah. Hello, Rachel. But there are at least two points here, or let's say two points here, that Rabbeinu Yonah is worried that we're going to misunderstand. So we got to be paying attention, even as much as it doesn't seem as complex on the outset as some Mishnayos do. Okay, good. So let's go forward. Hi, Carrie. Okay. Good. So, say it again.
I have a question on that.
Yeah.
Why that like what's the alternative to don't misinterpret this? Meaning that like all the other ones don't say that. Are they less important? Like.
No, not necessarily less important.
Kavod is something you read to interpret. You know?
What'd you say?
Kavod is something you read to interpret, like it's lessons. They're not explicit. So why is this different from the rest of them?
Good. Why is this different from all other nights? Good. Good question, Javi. I think that when Rabbeinu Yonah says Chalila Lecha, and again, we'll see where he says it and why he says it, it means that he's worried that you might think that you have been led to think something that you shouldn't think. The classic example of this, again, I did not read Rabbeinu Yonah in advance and see if he actually uses that lashon, right? But is by Antigonus Yisocho, where he says you should be Alti Kavadim Shemasham Shemavaras Al Manasakala Pras Elitzu Kavadim Shemasham Shemavaras Asarav Shalom Al Manasakala Pras, right? And Rabbeinu Yonah is like, don't think this means that you're not going to get reward. It just means the way that you serve it shouldn't be to get reward, but of course you're going to get reward, right? He's worried you're going to take it to mean something that it doesn't. So again, interestingly, twice here he's worried that we might accidentally be led by the without thinking about his parish really on the Mishnah into something that is not actually accurate and is not like hashkafically like correct, and he's going to like warn us about that twice. Hi, Yasmin. Good. So let's go and see what he says. So the first thing that Rabbeinu Yonah has to deal with here. Is okay. I was gonna give you guys an assignment, but I'm not going to. Okay. The first question that let's say came to my mind as I'm reading this, and should come to all our minds as we're reading this, is the use of the word of the prefix she. She mitzvah gereres mitzvah, ba'aver gereres aveira. She schar mitzvah mitzvah, uschar aveira aveira. So the questions that we're going to have to ask ourselves, again, he makes a statement and then he backs it up. And Rabbeinu Yonah really only deals with the backing it up. He doesn't deal as much with the statement at all, which is interesting. Have a rutz lemitzvah kala kebachamura. You should run after a light mitzvah as a hard mitzvah. He doesn't talk about what does it mean, light or hard. What does it mean, rutz? You know, why does it say rutz? He doesn't deal with really any of that. He deals more with, like, you know, that being the principle that we're trying, that Ben Azai is trying to defend. Have a rutz lemitzvah kala kebachamura. You should take basically a light mitzvah as seriously as you take any mitzvah as seriously as you take any other mitzvah. Okay, and then it says ushbar obeirach min avera sheschar she mitzvah goveres mitzvah va'avera goveres avera sheschar mitzvah mitzvah uschar avera avera. What is the use of the word she? Like, what are the ways that it could be used?
That.
Right, that, so therefore what? What? Why does the Mishnah continue instead of just saying, Have a rutz lemitzvah kala, kebachamura, uberech min avera, period. Like, what's Ben Azai adding when he's saying, Sheh mitzvah goreres mitzvah, sheh schar mitzvah mitzvah?
he's saying it's like connected. It's like, and if you look at it that way, then this.
Good. Okay, awesome. Okay, good. So bachata, amazing, right? It could be like sort of like a natural flow of thought, right? Like, you should do this, and here's the consequence. Here's the natural consequence of you doing that, of you pursuing these mitzvos. You know, this will happen. What's the other way that we could interpret the use of the word sheh? Sheh schar mitzvah mitzvah. Sheh mitzvah goyeres mitzvah. In this sentence. It could be a fill in the blank. Starts with an R. He could be trying to provide a, not trying to, he could be providing a
reason?
Good, reason. A reason, right? A reason. He could either be describing something that happens, by the way, like Hillel does, right? Hillel does a lot of descriptors. By the way, this is what happens. This is like the natural order of the world. Or he could be giving a reason, okay? You should do this because of these reasons. So as we read Rabbeinu Yonah, tell me how, again, this is the main thing that Rabbeinu Yonah deals with. Is Rabbeinu Yonah, how is Rabbeinu Yonah seeing the use of the word, of the prefix sheh? Is he looking at it as a natural consequence? Is he looking at it as a reason? Okay, let's start reading and you tell me. Ben Azai Omer, have a rutz l'mitzvah kala. Shekvar amru ta'am lezeh hada'avar b'parak sheni. It already told us the reason for this in parak sheni. Lefi she'en ata yodeyan matan schar and shal mitzvah. What is this referencing? I just found it and then for some reason I took my hand off the place. Okay, in the first Mishnah of Perek Sheni, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Ezehu derech lishar she yavor lo ha'adam, kol shi tiberes lo ha'osev, v'tiberes lo min ha'adam, v'havei zahir b'mitzvah kala kebachamura. Almost the same lashon, but not quite. You should be cautious with the light mitzvah as a heavy mitzvah. She'. Again, there's the use of the word she'. She'en ata yodeyan matan schar and shal mitzvah. Because you don't know the reward for the mitzvahs. So Rabbeinu Yonah at least reads the first Mishnah in Parak Sheni as a reason. Why should you treat all mitzvahs equally and with equal enthusiasm? Because you don't know the reward of mitzvahs, right? Don't think that you know that you can judge basically correctly which are kala and which are chamura. So logically, what do you think he's about to say here? We already know the reason for that listed in Parak Beit. What do you expect to read in the next few lines? We're just being conscious of our learning processes. Hi, Shira. What do we expect to see in the next lines that he's going to say? But here, blah, blah, blah. Right? Right. Good. A few nods. Good. Va'ata ben azai hosif ta'am acher. Okay. Just kidding. Right? We read that. He's saying the first mission of Berk Beis gives us a reason. But then he says here, va'ata ben azai hosif ta'am acher ve'omer. So we see that Rabbeinu Yonah reads the Mishnah as saying that Shem mitzvah goveres mitzvah by Rebeir goveres Rebeira at least is one additional reason for treating mitzvahs equally. Okay, run after all mitzvahs equally. Why? Shem mitzvah goveres mitzvah by Rebeir goveres Rebeira. Because this is a reason you should do it. Because one mitzvah causes another and one Rebeira causes another. So now he's going to explain why this is a reason, right? And I'm going to read it to you inside. You tell me the mechanism by which this happens, okay? The mechanism by which mitzvah goreis mitzvah va'aver goreis avera. What is at play to make that happen, according to Rabbeinu Yonah? Okay, tam acher ve'omer, have a retzel mitzvah kal kubah uberich mein avera, she mitzvah goreis mitzvah. Mikoach hatevahu, it's a natural koach, right? It's a natural process, so to speak. Who's that? Ki ba'asos ha'adam mitzvah kala pa'am achas. When a person does any mitzvah, even an easy one time, humizkari ve'lashem yizbarach umargilas ruchu la'avodoso. He becomes close to Hashem and he accustoms himself to doing what Hashem wants from him. He accustoms himself to avodos Hashem. V'nokil ba'inav la'asos mitzvah acharas. And it becomes easier in his eyes to do another mitzvah. She'yish ba'torach k'neged rishona o'yoser ma'at, right? Even if it's a little harder than the first one. Mipnei she'kvar hergel tivo l'melechas ha'mitzvos. Because he's already accustomed himself to doing mitzvahs. Okay, so let me read you the end. Uvavera govera severa, and one avera causes another avera, or leads to another avera. Gamze minatava. This is also a natural thing. Achar sha'az avera achas v'nisrachik me'avodas Hashem yisbarach. After he does one avera and he already distances himself a little bit from Hashem, kisavo liyado avera acheres. If another avera comes to his hand, af ki ina yitzer misave la karishona. Even if he doesn't really tempt him as much as the first avera did, yeah, he's going to do it. Right. Okay. So he's explaining what does it mean mitzvah geveras mitzvah. It's a natural process. If you do a mitzvah, when you accustom yourself to doing what Hashem wants from you, it's easier the next time. Even if it's a little harder objectively, it's easier to do the next time than the first time when you were trying to do it. And then the same is true for an avera. If you do an avera, then the next time that it comes to your, then an avera is, you know, presented, it presents itself to you, it's easier to do it even if it doesn't really tempt you that much. What process is Rabbeinu Yonah saying it happens here? So mitzvah geras mitzvah, va'avera geras avera.
Habituation.
Good. Thank you, Bacheva. Right? Habit. Right? He's saying this is simple. This is not one of the things where he's like, don't misunderstand it. Right? Why? Why should you accustom yourself to doing any mitzvos, easy mitzvah like a hard mitzvah? Because if you do any mitzvos, it becomes easier to do any other mitzvah. And if you do any avera, it becomes easier to do any other avera. Right? So be careful of what potential, you know, natural processes you are setting in place with the choices that you make. Because if you make a choice for good and you habituate yourself to doing good, you make it easier to do good, right? I was thinking about this in terms of, let's say, you know, I have like an unhealthy relationship with sugar. Let's say, let me just put that out there for all of you who don't know, which I'm sure is, you know, most of you do already know this. And I find that, like, you know, if I'm trying to stay away from sugar, but then like there's one night where, let's say, I'm stressed out and I eat like, you know, fresh baked cookies that my friend drops off because she's in and I'm stressed out. And I'm like, well, I'm doing her a favor because like, how can I not eat her cookies? So like, I'm a good person, right? Then like, once I do that, I'm like, you know, I wasn't really going to eat the Ben & Jerry's ice cream that's in my freezer, but like now that I already ate those cookies, I should eat the Ben & Jerry's ice cream that's in my freezer, right? So like, it wasn't really tempting me the ice cream, but once I eat the cookies, like I may as well eat the ice cream, right? So like, this is how it works both for negative and for the positive. When we do a positive thing, we also feel like, wow, I already am such like a do-gooder, like I can keep doing good and it feels great, right? We all understand this as a natural koach within us. Agreed? Agreed. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah goes on. Let's just say this way. The Mishnah goes on by saying, "Shaschar mitzvah mitzvah uschar avera avera." The reward for a mitzvah is another mitzvah, and the reward for an avera is another avera. So we have the same question here. Is this a continuation? Is this like a, right? There's two ways that you could read it. One of them is like, you know, it's just it's like elaboration on the first point, right? It's synonymous. Why should you do mitzvah, why should you ratz the mitzvah kala kibach amura, uberech mein avera, you know, colon, why should you do that? She mitzvah gurus mitzvah avera avera, she schar mitzvah mitzvah schar avera avera. Or it could be two reasons, right? Maybe he's giving a different reason. So let's read Rabbeinu Yonah, and you tell me, is he elaborating on the first reason, or Hirsch takes one of those approaches, and Rabbeinu Yonah takes the other one of the approaches. So tell me which one of Rabbeinu Yonah takes, okay? She schar mitzvah mitzvah. Zehu, ta'am acher, chutz min ateva. Ah, this is another reason, aside for just nature. What do you think he's going to say? What are you going to predict he's going to say? What's going to be the difference between schar mitzvah mitzvah uschar avera avera from mitzvah goreres mitzvah va'avera goreres avera? What's he going to say?
You're racking up rewards that way.
You're what? You're racking like up rewards.
You're racking up rewards that way. Like your reward is a mitzvah, but you're technically going to be rewarded for your next mitzvah, so it's kind of a snowball effect, but not the exact same snowball effect as the other one.
Cool, I love that. Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah. I love that pshat. I think it's actually very much pshat. Not what Rabbeinu Yonah says or Hirsch, but it's like it's very pshat. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. Your reward for mitzvah is another mitzvah, but obviously it's not the reward for the mitzvah is the mitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah is the reward for both those mitzvahs, which will just keep going. Okay.
Your opportunity to get another reward.
Good. Carrie. Go ahead. Sorry, Shira.
Ooh. I would say that one is like a mitzvah is going to lead to another. Like one's talking about what's going to happen afterwards, like what your natural feeling is going to be after doing a mitzvah and avera, like what you're going to be inclined to do next. And the other one's just explaining the reward, like the reward process, like what's kind of happening in Shamayim, maybe down here.
Okay, good. So you're saying like the first one seems to be like a, you know, describing naturally what's going to happen. And the second one seems to be flirting with the boundary between what to expect in the natural world and maybe something a little bit about what's happening cosmically. Carrie, is that what you were going to say?
So I was going to say for the second one, that it's more that Hashem like sees what you want to do and puts like opportunities for that in your way. So if you're doing mitzvos, then you're going to like Hashem enables that and like, If that's not what you want to do, then like it's also going to be in your way like easily.
Good. Okay. So Carrie like uncannily thinks like Chazal, and we'll see that that's exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah says. So let's go There. Okay, good. So Sechar Mitzvah, Mitzvah, good. Building off of both Chavi and Shira and Kerry, let's see what he says. Sechar Mitzvah, Mitzvah. Zehu tam acher chutz min ha-teva. This is another reason in addition to the natural reason that we said above. V'kach, rotze lomar. And this is what it means to say. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yis'ala lo nasan biyada adam hara. Okay, he goes again, abstracts a little bit. He takes a step back before he goes into the parish here. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yis'ala lo nasan biyada adam hara v'hatov. Ach ha-bechira levad. Hashem does not give a person good or evil. He only gives him the power of choice. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yis'ala lo nasan biyada adam hara v'hatov. He does not give a person into a person's hand evil or good. Ach habechira bilvad, only habechira levad, only the choice, only choice alone. Kemoshe ne'amar ubacharta b'chayim, like we are told, you should choose life. Va'achar shebachar lo derech achas. Once he chooses for himself one, hello Sema. Once he chooses for himself one of these routes, im tovahi, if it is a good route, right? If he chooses good, holech ba v'hashem imo. He goes on that path and Hashem helps him. And if he does one mitzvah, Hashem himself, Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yizala, as he just described him, helps him do another mitzvah. And this is what we mean when we say Sheshchar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Okay, well, I'm actually going to skip a little bit because we're going to backpedal and go there. And he quotes basically a chazal, which is an important chazal. Right? Hashem helps him. Hashem helps him. It's a pretty incredible statement, isn't it? Hashem helps him to choose another path to do good. And he quotes Chazal, Bolatayer Messiah Oso Bolatame Posfinla. One who comes to do good, it's a very important Chazal. I had to memorize this in high school. I memorized that and it sounded a little bit different back then, so I'm not sure why. And I looked it up in the Gemara, and the Gemara has it in a reverse order than Rabbeinu Yonah has it here. So I don't know if there are different versions of it, but fine. Bolatayer Messiah Oso. Someone who comes to do good, he is helped. Balatame poschinlo, someone who comes to do evil, they let him do it. Okay? And so, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, what mechanism is at play here? The first mechanism was habit. What's the mechanism here?
Choice.
Help. Right? Good. So you're right, Yasmin, that he has to make a choice. But what's at play here is basically what we call in divine intervention, or what other people call hashgacha pratis, right? If you choose to do good, one of the natural, spiritual, metaphysical consequence of that is that Hashem will allow you to do more good. The process here is not natural. Mitzvah goreis mitzvah va'aveira goreis aveira is a natural process. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah uschar aveira aveira is not a natural process. It is Hashem stepping in to help us do more good when we choose good. And here he goes, okay? Let me read it to you now in order, okay? After he chooses one of those paths, if it's a good path, if he chooses one mitzvah, then Hashem helps him to do another mitzvah. And here we go. And this is why it says, mitzvah mitzvah. Here he goes. He's trying to make sure we don't make a mistake. Lo chas v'shalom. And again, we all should have thought this when we read the Mishnah, but maybe we didn't allow ourselves to think it. That's at least how I thought about it after I read Rabbeinu Yonah. Lo chas v'shalom says zehu schar. There is no way that you should ever let anybody tell you that what this Mishnah means is that the reward, that mitzvah are so nice and so beautiful, that the reward that you get for doing a mitzvah is that you get to do another mitzvah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that doesn't make any sense. Not logically, not existentially. Chas v'shalom. We are not saying here that the actual schar, the literal schar of a mitzvah is another mitzvah. Lo chas v'shalom is zehu schara. She'im kein ma schar yesh lo. Because if his only schar for a mitzvah is another mitzvah, hello, what schar does he have? Sorry, I just lost my praise. Ma schar yesh lo v'chi yaza mitzvah harbe ma yo'il lo. He's going to do a lot of mitzvot, and what does it help? Right, great. So he's going to do a mitzvah, and his schar is going to be another mitzvah, and then he's going to do that mitzvah, and his schar is going to be another mitzvah, and like, where does it take him? Nothing. Right? If there's no actual schar, so to speak, if there's no like cosmic justice that happens from him doing mitzvos, then, you know, this existentially doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't help him, and what would the point be? So clearly, that's not what this Mishnah means when it says that the schar of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Do not take this literally. That's what he's saying. That is not what it means literally. What does it mean instead? Lo kein hadavar. That's not what this means. That's not what happens. Kischara hi lo olam haba. Of course, a person always gets actual, legitimate, actual, real schar for every mitzvah that he does. He gets schar in olam haba. He gets real schar, so to speak, quote unquote, spiritual schar, whatever that means. You can ask your local Orthodox mystic and rabbi, which I am neither of. Ela rotzon lomar. But what is it actually trying to mean? She pre mitzvah mitzvah. Vocha b'shar b'olam hazeh shemesayen so lasos mitzvah acheres. Right, what Carrie said, right? That's what it actually means. It doesn't mean that that's the schar, that's what he's paid back for doing a mitzvah, as he's paid back with another mitzvah. No, it means that part of the schar, part of the metaphysical reality that happens, part of the metaphysical, so to speak, like, you know, good stuff that he gets from doing a mitzvah, is that he gets the chance to do another mitzvah. Because if he chooses good, Hashem helps him choose good more. Okay, let's see the other chas v'shalom that happens here. What we don't know is uschar v'era v'era. Im bachar es hamavas. If he chooses evil, right? Maves is the term that's used in Parshas 7 when we say Yibuchar Tebachayim. As a chayim, as a tov, as a maves, as a yasara. Oh, here it goes. Imachar as a maves, yasara. V'asa aveir achas. And he does an aveira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misrachek mimenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, takes a step back from him, distances himself from him. U'manichau u'moser oso biyad tivo hara. And he lets him run along in his evil nature. V'zehu ha'pri ha'yotzim in aveira. And that's the cosmic fruit that happens from a person's aveira. It's interesting because I think this is actually like a support for Hashgacha Pratis, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. That if you try to do good, Hashem comes and helps you to do good. And if you try to do bad, then what? Right? That's the interesting part, is that Rabbeinu Yonah says, listen, the first Sheschar, Shez mitzvah goreres mitzvah va'averes goreres veira. It's the same mechanism at play. Right, habit. You habituate yourself to do good, you'll do more good. You habituate yourself to do bad, you'll do more bad. He is going to say the second chas v'shalom about seeing a parallel in the second half. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah uschar avera avera. If you're going to draw a parallel, it should look like this. The reward for a mitzvah is that Hashem helps you do more mitzvos. The reward for an avera is that Hashem helps you do more averas. He's like, chas v'shalom. Klomar, she'im balatame in misayin oso. Oh, sorry, one second. Okay, and then it says, then he quotes Chazal. Then he quotes the Chazal that I read before. Balatahir misayin oso. Quoting a Chazal. Someone who comes to do good, they help him. Balatame poschen lo. Someone who comes to do evil, they open it up for him. They let him. Right? They open up the path. They don't close down the path. They basically don't close a path in front of him if he has made a bad choice. Klomar, she'im balatame in misayin oso. If he comes to do bad, nobody helps him. No human is ever helped to do evil. Aval poschen harbe yeshlo, lekones ba ulahareya. But trust me, he has a lot of avenues that are open to him that he can continue to do bad if he wants to. Ki manichan oso lasos hatov beinov, because they leave him to do whatever's good in his eyes. I think Rabbeinu Yonah really would like us to appreciate the irony in that statement and the humor in that statement. They leave him to do what's good in his eyes, which is bad. That was funny, wasn't it? Ki manicho so lasos hatov beinav. They leave him to do what's good in his eyes. And what's good in his eyes is to do bad. V'chas v'shalom v'chalila. Interesting. Here it's chas v'shalom v'chalila. In the first place, it was...
just chas v'shalom.
Just chas v'shalom, right? Lo chas v'shalom, yeah. Here it's chas v'shalom v'chalila. Shemin Hashemayim lo yisayo la'asos ra, l'shum adam. Hashem never ever helps a person do bad, / no man is ever helped from Hashem to do bad. Aval atzadikim shebocherin lahem b'derech tov v'mesayin osam. But good people who choose to do good, Hashem helps them. Good. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah here. I heard Bat Sheva take a deep breath in to say something, but first I'm gonna inflict a little bit more
pain.
Yeah, chas v'shalom. A little bit more Torah on her before she could say whatever that little deep breath in was about. Okay, Rav Hirsch, again, interestingly, to see somebody take it a different kind of way, which isn't really a different kind of way, but Rav Hirsch sees both of these things as basically one reason. And I'm not even sure he sees it like as a per se, like a reason as much as like an explanation, okay? So he says, the good that you do will lead to more good. That's mitzvah goreis mitzvah. And every act of duty done bears its own reward. That's schar mitzvah mitzvah. And he puts them in the same sentence as like one, that's one concept. The knowledge that you have done the will of your Father in heaven will bring you closer to Him. Knowing that you've done a bodas Hashem will bring you closer to Hashem. It will enrich your spirit with happy awareness of having done the right thing and reinforce your moral capacity for doing good. It will. So again, mitzvah goris mitzvah, uschar mitzvah mitzvah. It's basically the same thing. What does it mean? It means that choosing to do good will enrich your spirit with happy awareness of having done the right thing. Your conscience will be happy. Right? You will have a happy conscience because you will know that you've done the right thing. And that will reinforce your moral capacity for doing good. And that will help you, again, build the muscle of morality to do more good. According to Rav Hirsch, what's the one mechanism that this Mishnah is talking about at all? For Rabbeinu Yonah, it was the first mitzvah, goras mitzvah, is talking about habit. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah, is talking about like a metaphysical help. According to Rav Hirsch, the whole thing, both of those parts, is talking about positive reinforcement. Good. Positive reinforcement, right? You do good, it will feel good to you. Because your conscience will resonate with the choices that you're making to do avodas Hashem, even when it's hard, and even if it's a big thing, and even if it's a small thing, and that itself will positively reinforce your capacity for doing more good. Okay, questions, and then we're going to talk about the so what factor. Mashaba, do you have a question first?
I have a couple. First of all, one thing I was curious about is that his first class of Shalom was about how that it's not a reward for the mitzvah. And then the second one, you would think he's going to say, like, chas v'shalom, that you should think this is the punishment. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he says chas v'shalom, that you should think that Hashem helps a person do bad. And then, whatever, that's just like, you would think that it parallels the first one. And then the second thing is, if it says in Chazal that Hashem opens up the doors for you to do bad, then isn't that what it means? Like that, like he seems to be disagreeing with Chazal.
Good question. So let me just go for, like, again, try to do it in the order that you said it. So right, his first class of Shalom is that, like, you know, don't be discouraged that this means that this is the schar of a mitzvah. Right? Like, okay, I did a mitzvah. What's my schar? My schar is that I get to do another mitzvah. Shkoyach. Okay. Right, he's allowing us to think that, which is true. That's what we should think, right? And again, that's actually the same issue that happened with Antigone and Shisocho, where they said, you know, if I'm serving Hashem as like servants who don't expect a reward, it must mean that there is no reward. So, like, I'm not doing this. And that was Tzedukim and Baisos, who created like a lot of problems for the Jews with Tzedukim and Baitosim, right? So that was the same existential issues about whether or not we're ever going to have schar for mitzvos create a lot of issues within the Jewish people if we misunderstand that. So he's saying, no, I'm not saying that the cosmic schar of a mitzvah is another mitzvah. For the record, I've heard that before. I don't know from whom exactly, but I've heard that before. Like, yay, the only schar we ever need for a mitzvah is another mitzvah. It's not true. If anyone is like, come on. We get schar, of course we get schar. So this is something else at play. It's not telling you the actual legitimate reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. It's telling you, like, you know, the positive cosmic consequence of having done a mitzvah is that Hashem helps you. Do more good, which is what you want to do and what he wants you to do, so like everyone's happy. And again, according to Rav Hirsch, like, it increases your moral capacity. Like, that feels good for you too. It feels good for your conscience too. And the second part is, like, yeah, he's saying, like, so schar mitzvah mitzvah, it's not so pshat of Rabbi Yonah, right? This just his parish of schar mitzvah mitzvah uschar vera vera is not 100% pshat. Because he's saying it's not schar. Schar here means, again, the cosmic consequence. Okay. But he's saying it can't be pshat. And it can't be pshat for two reasons. It can't be pshat because, of course, the schar mitzvah is not another mitzvah. Of course, the schar mitzvah is olam haba, and Hashem has that, you know, a big bank account full of it, and however Hashem works his cosmic justice, and we believe in that. And the second is, you can't read the parallel that the schar of an avera, his second issue is that once he explains it as the cosmic consequence, is Hashem, like, reaching his hand into the reality and giving you schar, it's not the same mechanism at play for an avera, right? He has to explain it. It's not schar, and then he has to explain that it's not parallel, even though the lashon in the Mishnah is parallel, because we can't say that the schar of an avera is that Hashem makes you do another, like Hashem helps you do another avera. That's your reward. No, the schar is that poskin lo. And again, he has the backing of Chazal. I don't think he's disagreeing with Chazal. He's using the backing of Chazal because Chazal does not say balatayr messiah lo, balatame messiah lo. Yeah, you want to do good, Hashem's going to help you. You want to do bad, Hashem will help you. Chazal doesn't say that. They say, you want to do good, Hashem will help you. You want to do bad, Hashem will let you. That's how kind of he's saying that we would translate that into English.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I guess I just, like that, the
The chas v'shalom part sort of like seems a little extreme, just because if we believe that mitzvot are intrinsically good, and that if they're intrinsically good, they make ourselves intrinsically better people, and they, you know, better the world, you know, etc., the cosmos, then shouldn't it be a good thing that, like, that it should be that the reward is doing another intrinsically good thing that's just better for ourselves and better for the world and better for everything? Like, why is that such a big, like, chas v'shalom to think that?
It's a good question. I don't think that he would disagree with you, Naomi, in saying that those are all good things. I think he would disagree with calling that the schar of a mitzvah. Right? Why he's justifying, why should you do mitzvahs? Why should you care about mitzvahs? What's the reason? Or maybe you want to see this as a reason, right? The reason you should do mitzvahs is because then you get the chance to do even more mitzvahs. And he's like, it's circular reasoning. You can't say that. You can't
Why?
Say that the reason...
It's not circular, because it's like, then you get the chance to do other, like, intrinsically great things. So good. Why is that circular? It's just a mitzvah. It's like, this is goodness.
I totally appreciate what you're saying, and maybe I was wrong in the, like, it's circular reasoning piece. I think his issue would be with, like, the. That is the schar for a mitzvah. That might be a schar, that might be a nice consequence, that might be a great consequence, that might be a main consequence. But the truth is, there's other schar that we don't see, and that is not in our hands, and that is, like, again, this cosmic process that's beyond us. So he's worried that also, if we define everything within the bounds of our own world, then we don't recognize that there is a certain amount of schar that is cosmic. And while you, Naomi, are such a good person that the fact that you get to be a better person seems like actually that's great reward for you. If somebody has a really hard time with mitzvot or all mitzvot or some mitzvot and that's not good enough for them, or they don't feel like it makes them a better person, or they have a, you know, moral issue with one of the mitzvot, schar mitzvah l'chayah malika, right? The schar, the real schar, that not the real schar, an element of a schar of a mitzvah is not here. And that's like one of the things that we believe, right? One of the elements of a mitzvah is not here. So we can't only give reasoning for doing the mitzvot because of more mitzvot, right? Like, it doesn't get you anywhere. I mean, it gets you somewhere. You don't like when I say that. And you're right. That's not correct. It does get you somewhere. But it also, that's not the only thing that we say. Sima, tell me what you're going to say.
It just sounded the way that maybe, just the way Naomi was phrasing it, was she was kind of saying doing mitzvot gives more reward. Like, she didn't say reward, but she said it's intrinsically important for the world. How so? It makes you a better person. Well, then that might be the schar. But doing another mitzvah is not the schar. Like, the act of, you know, eating more matzah is not schar for something else. It's the fact that eating matzah makes you a better person because you're listening to God or whatever. That's the reward that I think Naomi maybe was referring to. I don't know.
And I was also touching on the concept that, like, there is, like, schar mitzvah, that, like, the reward for doing the mitzvah is the fact that you did the mitzvah. It's, like, the intrinsic goodness of the fact that you did an intrinsically great thing and made the world a better place, made yourself a better place. Like,
by making the world a better place and making yourself a better place, isn't that the schar? Like, yes. Yeah.
Right. That's Gishma.
Yeah, that, like, that's the intrinsic good.
Right. And that is Rabbeinu Yonah, what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, right? Right.
But I feel like that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying about, like, that's what he's saying, but he's just making a point, like, don't think that you're not getting the scar that was promised to you when we got, like, scar and onus. Like, that. Because the fact that mitzvos are, like, I feel like I'm in, like, a lot of
All right, I'll jump back on later. Naomi, let me read you Rav Avadya Bartanura, the Bartanura's definition of or explanation of Shachar Mitzvah. Maybe that's a little bit more what you're saying also, but I agree with Carrie, and I think that's what Simon was pointing out also, is that that Yonah is saying the opportunity to become a better person that happens from the mitzvot is the schar that you get for the mitzvah, but it isn't, like, legitimately you eat matzvah, you have the chance to do, you know, shake the lulav. right? That if you look at it so binarily, it doesn't really mean much like that, right? Rabbi Dr. Bajanura says, "Shekol ma she'adam mis taker umis aneg ba'asiyos ha-mitzvos," any good that you get from doing mitzvos, and again, I think he is talking about character good as opposed to like if you enjoy eating the matzah, but fine, right? Any character benefit, let's say, or any, you know, any tikkun olam benefit that you get from doing the mitzvah, nechshav lo le-mitzvah bifnei atzma. That itself is a mitzvah. Sheschar mitzvah, right? The reward that you feel or that you get or that you develop from doing the mitzvah is itself a mitzvah. V'notel schar al ha-mitzvah she'asa v'ala oneg v'hana she'ne'ene ba'asiyasa. Right? That if you develop yourself through doing a mitzvah and you, like, and it's like, it feels gishmak because you've developed yourself, that feeling of gishmak from developing yourself is itself a mitzvah. That's how he reads it. But just like the just stam, like shesar mitzvah mitzvah, which is interesting that you just quoted this about this, right? Which is, I think, is like very interesting. I haven't seen yet. I didn't mean to read a ton of Mefarshim, but I read Rashi, Rambam, Rabbi Bachanura, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rav Hirsch, and a little bit of the Chochma Umasar. I haven't seen anyone say that, like literally shesar mitzvah mitzvah. That's all we should want when doing a mitzvah is the chance to do another mitzvah. And Rabbeinu Yonah was the harshest that we should, like, that could be a part of it. I don't think he's worried about that being a part of it. I think he's worried about that being all of it. Because then you get some people who are like, well, if I just want to, like, cut off that process, if my only schar for doing a mitzvah is a mitzvah and I don't want that, then I can just walk away. And, like, whatever. And he's saying, like, no, there's other stuff. There's other substance, too. Bye, Java.
It's interesting. Because for me, it's actually the other way around. Like, if you were to say, Chas v'shalom, you should think it's only about the next world, it's about, like, this world, I'd probably buy that more, because it's really hard to, like, consider and think about or even care about the next world when you don't really get it. So it's just funny, like, the language that he's using, like, Chas v'shalom, you should think that it's not, you know, that there isn't something waiting for you. I don't know. It doesn't, when we were little, like, when we were kids, it was like, oh, like, I'm getting brownie points in heaven, but, like, for me, honestly, now I relate more to the schar mitzvah mitzvah, like the enjoyment now.
Right. No, I totally hear that. I think that's very real and grounded. And I think that, like, you know, again, Rabbi Yonah is less talking about schar in terms of like a static thing, right? And again, this is kind of like the so what factor. Let's say I have this Mishnah. It leads into that. Like, he's not talking about, like you're saying, brownie points, right? He's not saying, like, you get little coins up there and they're, like, all stacked in a thing and then you die and you get to, like, sit in your treasure house and, like, do what? We have no idea. We don't think that far into it, right? Like, that's not really what he's saying. He's saying the schar of a mitzvah is the opportunity to do more good for yourself, for the world, and for cosmic, you know, whatever, Olam Haba stuff. So again, this, if you look at the theme of this mission, if you take a step back, it's extremely active, which is the same thing that we had coming off of the previous Mishnah, right? The previous Mishnah was all like, don't define riches based on how many coins you have in your bank account. Define richness based on how happy you are with what you have, right? It was a very active process. Like, don't have self-definition that's static. And this is also sort of like an instruction manual that your whole life should feel like this active process. Rutz l'mitzvah kala. You should run to a mitzvah kala. Again, in Beis Aleph, it was Heveza here, be wary of it, which is a lot more passive of a statement. This is run, uboreach min ha-aveira. You should flee, you should run away from aveira. Sha mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Again, you see this chain process. When we visualize it, we see it going forward, right? One thing causes another one. And schar mitzvah mitzvah, Rabbeinu Yonah is even defining that. Don't think of the schar of mitzvah of like piling up coins. The schar of a mitzvah is also an active process. It leads you into doing more good. Doing good leads you into doing more good. Right, so again, this Mishnah is teaching us to look at our lives as a constant series of choices in which we are trying to do good. Again, Hashem does not give us good or bad, He gives us choice. And we are, again, defining both of the pieces of our self-value that matter to us last Mishnah. This Mishnah, we're defining like our constant, you know, presence in reality as being something that's active. We're choosing good. The more we choose good, the more we get good. The more we choose bad, we never get helped to do that, but we get left to do that if that's our choice, and that's what's good in our eyes is to do bad. But we want it to be good in our eyes to do good, and we get helped in that process. So again, that active state.